Thank you. This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of November 29th, 2012, convening at 5:39 p.m. Pacific, 8:39 p.m. Eastern Time. Summer Rees, Chair, Bill Crozier, Vice Chair, Afia Wangaza, Secretary. Is Madam Secretary with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Are you able to call the roll?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. If you could call the roll, please.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Ivan Alcime.
Here.
Teresa Allen.
Present.
Mia Bediaco.
Present.
Wesley Bethune. Can't hear you, Wesley. Carolyn Burden.
Present.
Lydia Brizan.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Kathy Davis.
Here.
Revlon Gold. Can't hear you, Revlon. Heather Gray.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Allie Lexa. Can't hear you, Allie. Ifia Wangaza, present. Laura Priebus. Can't hear you, Laura. Summer Rees.
Present.
Marcel Rees.
Here.
George Ryder.
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Dan Siegel. Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg. Can't hear you, Alex. Andrea Turner.
That's it.
Did I hear Alex?
Yeah, this is Ali Lexa, just came on the call.
This is Alex. I'm here.
Thank you.
So Ali and Alex are both here.
We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I received a request for an excused absence from Dan this morning. He may join us later, but he has a late business call, I believe. Is there any objection to granting Dan an excused absence?
Without objection.
Thank you, Campbell. Okay, so hearing no objection, we'll grant Dan an excused absence. Thank you. Madam Secretary, do we have minutes to be approved?
I believe we do, and they have been sent out by the Vice Chair.
Actually, John sent them out.
Well, I'm sorry. Before we do that, we have the open session agenda approval. Are there any modifications to the agenda, or is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve, George.
Thank you, George.
Is Heather.
I have.
Okay, one moment, please. I think I hear both Alex and Heather. Is that correct?
I'm seconding.
Okay. You're seconding, Heather. Thank you. I appreciate that. Alex?
I object. I want to make an amendment to the agenda.
Okay. What is the amendment, please?
I would like to bring up the report from the EDCFO search committee. I don't even see it on I don't see it on the agenda at all, and I would like to bring it up somewhere near the top.
Sure.
It's going to be a very short report. And most of the other committees look like they're preparing some very long reports.
No, it's there, Alex. Alex, it's right at the beginning of committee and task force reports. It just says ED, CFO, Executive Search Committee, Alex Steinberg, Chair, 5 minutes. Doesn't give any meat, but it's right after the ED, CFO type report.
Oh, okay. Pardon me then. I didn't see that.
Quite all right. It might be this is the most recent agenda that was sent out. Perhaps you have an earlier one. So, okay, very good.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
So, since that's taken care of, are there any objections? Can we approve the agenda? Okay, very good. It's been moved. It's been seconded. I hear no objection. Once, twice, three times. Okay, without objection, the agenda is approved. Thank you. Okay, now on to minutes approval. Madam Secretary, there it says the November 8th, 2012 minutes. Does someone wish to move for their approval?
So moved.
I'm sorry, is that a Fia?
No, this is Tracy, and I'm moving approval.
Thank you, Tracy. Is there a second? Somebody
second,
wants a second?
George.
George, thank you. Ryder, second. Any objection?
I'll have to abstain.
Okay, Campbell, thank you. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Oh, geez.
I can't tell when Benson triggers calling of the roll. It's not my decision. It's Robert Jules of order. If you could call the roll, please.
Sorry, I was away from what these are the minutes for when?
These are the November 8th, 2012 minutes, and we have an abstention.
Okay. 10 Aaron.
Approved.
Ivan Alcime. Ivan Alcime. Can't hear you, Ivan. Teresa Waller.
Approved. Yes.
Nia Bediaco. Can't hear you, Nia. Wesley Bethune. Can't hear you, Wesley. Carolyn Burden.
I'll have to abstain on this one. Thank you.
Lydia Brazan.
Yes.
Excuse me, Ms. Revelin. I'm on the call now.
Thank you. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Kathy Davis.
Abstain.
Revelin Cole.
Present.
No. The question is whether or not you approve the minutes submitted by the recording secretary. I'm sorry, did you say, did we see them? And did you approve them?
I did not finish reading them. I'm sorry.
Is that an abstention?
Yeah.
Heather Gray?
Approve.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson?
Abstain.
Allie Lexa?
Abstain.
Leslie here.
Isia Wangaza abstain. Laura Priebus? Can't hear you, Laura.
Okay.
Marcel Reed?
Abstain.
George Ryder?
I abstain.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes, to approve the minutes.
Okay. Dan Siegel is excused. Steinberg?
Abstain.
Andrea Turner?
Abstain.
Okay. Ivan Alcime? Can't hear you, Alvin. Ivan, I'm sorry. Nia Bediaco? Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Do you approve or?
I'm sorry, I just got on the call. I have to abstain.
Okay. Thank you. Laura Priebus? Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 abstentions. No, 0 no's. So 6 yes, 0 no's, 11 abstentions.
Hi, sorry, the call dropped out on me. Sorry, I presume the minutes were passed, yes?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, guys. All righty. So next up on the agenda would be my chair and interim executive director's report. Since our last meeting, several things have happened of significance. I'm deeply concerned about how our elections are going at this point. I have received complaints from all over the network regarding a variety of issues, ranging from rotation of candidate carts to on-air forum scheduling, to no staff ballots being sent from for KPFK's paid staff members. So I do believe that we have the potentiality of quite a few problems in this election at present. Some of them smaller, some of them larger, some of which may affect certification of the election, some of which probably will not. At this point, it's hard to deduce whether there's some he said, she said going on in terms of election supervisors blaming management and management blaming election supervisors, but clearly there are issues at most of our stations, quite frankly. I think D.C. is the only one I haven't really gotten complaints from, but I certainly have from all other signal areas. So that's an issue of deep concern to me, and particularly things like the paid staff at a station, the entire paid staff not receiving ballots. That's a huge problem. So I'm not sure where we're going to end up with this, and clearly there have been some very serious allegations, too, coming out of KPFT in terms of the ability to put carts and things of that nature on the air. So I'll be happy to take questions when we get to the end of my report in terms of the elections and feedback on that subject. Second, the elections by themselves are a big issue for us. Okay, as we all know, there was a huge hurricane that affected our New York City station, so it's a more positive thing. In terms of the response to that, we obviously have a lot of problems to deal with in contending with that. New York is still out of 120 Wall Street, effectively. There are still telecom issues there. Gary Null very graciously hosted our station at his facilities for an extended period of time and made himself available at no cost so that WBAI could stay on the air, and we're very grateful to him for that. 2 weeks ago, the entire network came together because WBAI not only, you know, was displaced from its facilities, but lost about a week of its fund drive, and clearly facing a very extreme cash flow situation. We put together a special day, which followed two very successful days of fundraising for the Pacifica Radio Archives. The Pacifica Radio Archives did their national appeal and raised $200,000, which was their goal. The following day, we had a network-wide special, which we produced out of KPFA, ran the phone room out of KPFK, did an incredible amount of technological juggling to connect up all of the stations and make sure there were no hitches, and incorporated an 800 number, and all of it went really very well. There was tremendous cooperation throughout the network. We produced a very good day of programming that was actually enjoyable to listen to, and raised approximately $200,000 in 12 hours for WBAI, which is not the highest fundraising day in Pacifica history. I've been told is pretty darn close to it. And frankly, it was exceptionally, I think, for all the divisions our network has suffered, was a very good thing for us, not just financially, but to be able to come together and actually support one of our stations in distress in a very successful fashion where everybody came together to support WBAI. We also identified ways to improve our fund drive process. We're not going to be able to implement all these things in time for December drive. But, there's consensus amongst, I would say at least much of the staff, some of the management, and most of the PDs, that this is the direction we want to move in for future fund drives. everything from connecting up our phone rooms so that we don't have dropped phone calls and don't leave money laying on the floor to actually coordinating national programming in a successful fashion so that we produce good quality programming and raise money without driving the listeners away. So we learned some very good things there, and it was a very satisfying experience for all the staff and management involved and the volunteers and everyone who worked on it. So we've taken away some good lessons, and we're going to start applying them to other fund drives, and hopefully in the long run shorten our fund drive days, increase the amount of money we make at a shorter period of time so that we can return to regular programming. We're in the process right now, obviously, of planning and about to exit. I'll wait. All right. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, we're starting December fund drive next week. I had hoped to get all of our stations on a consolidated schedule. Someone is having a phone line which is open and keeps making noise. If you could please mute your phones, #1, if you're not currently attempting to speak. Anyway, we're starting December drive next week. I had hoped to have all stations working in, I'd like to get us working completely as a network to where we're completely unified in terms of scheduling and premiums and everything to do with fund drive. We're not quite there yet, although we are a lot closer. Like for the first time, KPFK and KPFA will be starting fund drive on the same day, which will be the first time that that's occurred in the 3 years that KPFK has been sourcing certain programming from KPFA. So we're eliminating this, extra week or two of drive. I will wait. If you are not currently speaking, which you should not be because I am currently speaking, please mute your phone. #1. Thank you. Okay. So, anyway, this will be the first time since KPFK began sourcing its news and other letters in politics that since we started taking certain programming from KPFA, up until this point, the scheduling of fund drive has been out of sync so that KPFK listeners in Los Angeles experienced anywhere between an extra few days to nearly an extra 2 weeks of fund drive for a little part of each day because the schedules were out of sync. That is no longer the case. The schedules are synced up so that Los Angeles will not be subjected to excessive fundraising days because of the shared programming. New York and Washington, D.C. are starting the same week. They're both starting next week, slightly different. Well, one's 1 day later, one's 3 days later. Texas, to my chagrin, has chosen not to participate in fund drive during December. This is something I will undoubtedly be addressing, but at this point in time, that is where we are at with that. Everyone else, however, is much more coordinated. I assigned one of our best fundraisers, Christine Blasdale, a couple of weeks ago to put together a consolidated list of premiums throughout the network. Those have been distributed to all stations, and we're already getting positive feedback on the ability to source premiums which have a good response from the public across the network. We're going to be doing more of that coordination going forward into other fund drives as well so that we have good access to all premiums across the network. So I think we're moving forward in the right direction in terms of streamlining and making the fund drive more effective and more financially productive in a shorter period of time, which in the long run not only will be good for us financially, but will certainly improve both employee morale and the listening public's perception of what we're doing to raise funds to support our stations. Internally at the Pacifica National Office, I have brought in significant staff resources at this point on both a consultative and temporary basis to address our accounting department and our administrative functionality and the various issues which have needed to be substantially improved in the national office in order to be a more effective organization. And at this point in time, rapid improvements are occurring. I will let Peter address some of the issues with the financial improvements. We've also taken control of our technological resources within the national office so that we no longer have people remoting into our servers so that we have control over our network, things which were not the case before sufficiently. So we're making significant improvements very rapidly within the national office, and that is also flowing out to the individual stations as well. We'll be making improvements in our processes and dealing with the units. We've had payroll now built off a glitch where people are actually getting the correct amounts, and various things that we were having issues with before are being addressed and improvements already made. as to some things that are further down on the agenda. I did attend my local LSB meeting in Los Angeles two Saturdays ago. I did inform the local board that in my capacity as executive director, I was shutting down the local PD search committee process for breach of confidentiality. I've since conferred with our HR services who agree that I made the right determination, as have other people of a legal bent, in terms of necessity from a management perspective of not allowing an employment process or search committee to continue when there have been breaches of confidentiality, which might adversely impact some of the candidates. And the same decision about the Washington, D.C. General Manager Evaluation Committee based on breaches of confidentiality there as well. And we'll be developing in conjunction with our HR services more specific and rigid policies on our legal obligations to employees and prospective employees regarding how we conduct both searches and evaluations so that we can, to the best extent possible, avoid some of these problems in the future. Obviously, these things also depend upon the ethics of the individuals involved in the committees to not breach confidentiality, but to the best extent possible, we will strengthen these policies to prevent liability. And let me see. I think that probably covers everything that is of the audit engagement firm. The audit firm has been engaged, but I'm going to let Peter speak about what our audit preparations are looking at this point. And I'll gladly take questions.
Teresa, for the stack.
Okay. I'm sorry, I heard Teresa, and who was right after?
Marcel.
Marcel. I've got Teresa. I have Marcel. Okay. I'll take others. Go ahead, Teresa.
I'm sorry, but I did not quite get, what are the two searches that you stopped?
We have similar problems at both the Program Director Search Committee in Los Angeles and the General Manager Evaluation Committee in Washington, D.C. have both suffered breaches of confidentiality.
Okay. All right. My question is about the contract for vehicle donations. I've asked if we are using the same firm by all five stations. I would like to offer services to our affiliates if we as a foundation can get our sister stations all on the same page. I think it'd be a wonderful thing to offer our affiliates, just like audio port services and satellite programming, to be able to say, you can use this company. If you mention Pacifica, you can get a good rate. And I've been told that, like, the GM at KPFK was asked what company they use and how much we get, and he has not responded. So can I get an answer as to whether all five stations are using the same firm?
Sure. Teresa, all five stations are not using the same firm. The GM from KPFK did answer. He was getting a reasonably similar rate to the rate of the firm which you sent to. Someone has a very noisy phone line. Could you please mute the phone line, #1? Thank you. Sorry, Teresa. Anyway, KPFK is not using the same firm. They are receiving a similar rate. I think they're 5% better with the firm that you had shown me that T was using. The other stations, they are not all using the same firm. That's the starting point. I have a call scheduled with Ursula Rudenberg tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. to discuss various issues to do with the affiliates. Also to do with some of the special fundraising, which I didn't mention in my report, so I should actually mention this other item. Teresa, would you like to join us tomorrow morning? Because we're also going to talk a little bit about the portal project and some of the other things that might engage the affiliates in fundraising activities that might be mutually reciprocal and beneficial.
Yeah, I'll be happy to join it.
Okay, that would be terrific. Okay, she's going to call my office at 11 a.m. Maybe we'll use a conference number. I'll figure that out after this call, and I'll send that to both of you, okay?
Fine. I'll be happy to use a non
We can use one of the ones.
Free number if necessary.
Totally.
Okay,
yeah, no problem.
That's 11 Eastern?
No, Pacific. I'm sorry. It's 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you.
While we're on the stack.
I'm sorry, is that Ali?
Yeah, can you put me on the stack? I can answer the question about the car donation.
Okay, excellent. I'll put you on after Marcel. And there was something else that I should have mentioned in my report, which I did not, which is that as part of this December drive, we have a tremendous opportunity with one of our major donors from D.C. who has made available to us tickets to the inaugural Peace Ball in D.C. occurring on Inauguration Day. And it's a very good opportunity for us. There will be a lot of luminaries of the civil rights movement and other political people at this event. And it was completely attended to capacity 4 years ago. And it's anticipated that it will be this time as well. And we're having all five stations participate in offering those to the public. And that's what made me think of it as the affiliates as well. So I'm not used to talking about specific things that we may be offering during the course of Fund Drive, but this is a special opportunity that's been presented to us that we are going to avail ourselves of as a network. So, Marcel.
Okay. This is George from the stack. Ali, please.
George, okay, I'll put you on after Ali, George. Go ahead, Marcel.
Summer, I'd like to get something in writing concerning the GM evaluation, because
yes.
I didn't know you had made a ruling until tonight.
Yes, I was getting some feedback from our HR service so that it would have the right legal terminology going into it. Yes, I will get that to you in writing. I know that you need it in writing.
Yeah, and certainly before the 12th, which is when we're going to have our next meeting, so I think it would be good if I had something in writing. Okay.
I'm meeting with the HR representative telephonically tomorrow. We had a meeting yesterday for about 2 hours in our office, but I'm meeting specifically with the person in charge of HR tomorrow, so I will be seeking guidance on the language for that tomorrow as well, okay?
Do you mind if I join in on that meeting, Summer?
You could be in for part of it, at least the part that relates to this situation, certainly. Let me get that set up, and I'll give you a call in the morning, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, of course, definitely. Ali. Ali Alexa?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Go ahead, please.
Hey, is that Teresa asking about the car donations?
Yes, Teresa was. She'd like to get us harmonized with the same company, with which I agree. We'll get
a
better rate.
So it's very simple. I apologize. Our general manager didn't respond. We've been using a company called Donating is Easy, powered by Charitable Auto Resources. I'm looking on their site right now. It looks like they handle auto donations for about 120 public radio stations across the country. They've been really good for us. We basically have to do nothing. They set up a website for it, everything. We just point people to the site. They handle picking up the cars, and we get a check from them. If you're interested in looking them up, it's just donatingiseasy.org, and they specialize in doing this service for public radio stations.
Thank you, Ali. And we may have further follow-up on this to determine which organization is best if we wish to get everyone working with the same company. Thank you. George?
The issue of listener candidates not getting enough time on forums, that is, joint forums where they were, well, what was expected was that five people would be on during an hour. Came up before the elections committee, and they passed a resolution asking that the general managers implement that. And then it came up again before the governance committee, and we passed a resolution asking you to ask the general managers to implement that. Have you asked them, and are they implementing that?
I do not know if they are implementing that, and I apologize. George, when did you send this to me from the governance committee?
It was the day after the governance committee, which would be the third Monday in November, so it would be, I guess, last week.
I am sorry. I apologize. I don't think I saw it, George, and I have not forced managers to implement it because I'm looking it up right now to see if I can find something from George Ryder, okay? And nothing's coming up yet, so that's interesting. Okay. George, could you be kind enough to send that to me again, please?
I
have stressed to the management their I see draft agendas, I see writing, I see problems. Is it problems with on-air election process? Because the thing I got says contains no content. That's probably why it says this message has no content. Could you try sending it to me again, George, please?
Let me see what I actually said.
Thank you. It may just not come through correctly, okay? I had someone else send me an email. They said it kept bouncing back to them. I have no explanation for that. So, but if you could just resend, I would appreciate that.
I do feel legitimately that there has not necessarily been sufficient cooperation on the part of management. I also feel that there has perhaps been insufficient instruction maybe from the national election supervisor to the local election supervisors regarding structure, scheduling, and various other things that might have been more helpful in their communications with the GM. So I think there may be sufficient blame to go around in this situation, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We just need to deal with these things, you know? So.
Yeah, so that was the motion, and it went out with content, and I'll send it again.
Please, thank you. Is there anyone else besides after George?
Teresa again.
Go ahead, Teresa.
So are you actually saying that you think it's realistic that if George sends this, that we contact our, I don't know how many candidates we have, and organize some sort of panel discussion with them before the deadline for votes to be in?
Because
we're offering them, we've given each candidate like 20 minutes of their own airtime for people to call in and such. And I think there's just a limit to how much we can offer each candidate.
Sure, of course there is. I think the real problem has been, A, the horse has left the barn before the barn door got shut. The ballots went out without having had, I've never seen an election like this before, frankly, where ballots went out before any on-air candidate forms were conducted without cards being played. With election supervisors going on vacation a week before the ballots go out, I've never heard of people who are on contract employment going on vacation in the middle of a contract before. I mean, some of it's been just sort of stunning to me, actually. I'm not even sure that these problems can be sufficiently resolved. It's pretty hard once the ballots go out to say, and now we will do all of the electioneering and et cetera. Some of the problems were with, you know, just whether there was cooperation with even putting carts on the air in a timely fashion. The on-air candidate forums, and each station, you know, it hasn't been done as uniformly as I would have liked to see. I prefer uniformity because, it helps to insulate from litigation. If candidates at one single area have had ample opportunity to be on the air and take listener calls, if they've done it individually, that's a different practice than the one with which I'm familiar, which has been forums in which somewhere between four and six candidates participate on air at the same time. At this point, it's almost going to require an audit on my part of each station to determine what has happened with the candidate forums. Has everyone had an ample opportunity to appear on the air? Some stations were trying to schedule an absurd number of candidates into, like, you know, individual on-air forums, and you can't have 10 and 15 people in a booth at the same time. So I don't know. As I said, the violations or the complaints and allegations range from things that I think would not qualify necessarily as elections violations to things that I think definitely do qualify as elections violations, such as failure to send ballots to an entire class of members, of voters who are entitled to vote, i.e. the paid staff. So things like that, you know, could potentially invalidate the entire election at a signal area. I'll have to go back to the bylaws to see what that's going to do in terms of the effect on the entire network. So Teresa, I'm not sure all these things can be fixed. I'll take a look at the motion George has just sent me, and, we'll continue to take corrective action, but people are sending their ballots back in it, you know, at this point. I still haven't received a ballot. Numerous people haven't received ballots. Other people have received three ballots. We've got an insane number of things going on at each signal area. So Teresa, I don't have a definitive answer for you. Obviously, the election supervisor is in charge of these things. My role as IED is to direct traffic with management and to make certain decisions, but in terms of whether or not elections can be certified, whether or not the violations are sufficiently egregious to not certify an election. I mean, frankly, because the election process started 2 months late to begin with, the national election supervisor made it very clear to me that he is unable to certify large portions of this election anyway, like the things having to do with when it is supposed to have begun. And obviously that affects the back end of it. If you start something 2 months late and try to finish it on the same schedule, it's very difficult. So I perceive that we may have difficulties, and I hope that they don't turn into expensive ones. Okay.
Alex on the stack, please.
Revelyn,
go ahead,
Alex. Please.
Thank you, Alex, and then Revelyn. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you.
Since we're on the subject of the elections, can you tell us why the online voting option was dropped? Because I never heard that story.
Sure. I actually made that decision. It was purely fiscally based. As everyone will recall, the elections almost got stopped in their tracks because I could not get the money moved to pay the Election Services Corporation on the time frame agreed upon. And admittedly, it was a small amount of money. Frankly, I think there's some other things we could have done which would have saved more. But I made that decision. The election supervisor agreed to reduce his rate. Basically, I cut thousands of dollars wherever I could find them, and that was one of the places. He did not think in the aggregate it would make a difference necessarily in the quorum. It's more to do with sort of making a technological transition towards the ability to do electronic voting. So since he did not feel that it would significantly impact our actual number of returns, I didn't think that it would have a significant impact on the outcome of the election, and it was an opportunity to save a certain amount of money when I had people agreeing to cut their own rates in order to see to it that the election process continued. So it was a financial judgment call, quite frankly.
Carolyn, I'm the first.
Thank you, Carolyn. Alex, did you have anything else? Okay.
I'm not sure. I guess I have to disagree with your judgment on this one. I understand the imperatives of saving a few thousand dollars. And it's true, it probably wouldn't have made a big difference in this election, but it would have prepared for huge savings in the future if we actually move to electronic voting. So that's my opinion about that.
Thank you, Alex. And I agree. I mean, it could be interpreted either way. And I do think with proper preparation of the membership and everything, we could move in that direction and probably save significant money in the long run and perhaps have higher returns if we get everyone sort of prepared to respond in that fashion. Revlin.
Okay, thank you, Carolyn.
Summer, I heard you, I think I heard you mention something about programming. There have been some very major changes in our programming at WPFW, and I'd like to know if you, as IED, have anything to do with those changes, you know, or was this strictly from our WPFW general manager?
Sure. When I was in D.C. last month, the GM and the PD did discuss the need to make programming changes. I gave them a list of things which I thought might be appropriately sourced items from within the network, things that might work in D.C. I made it clear I wasn't in any way telling anybody what to change. That's their call. So in terms of specific programming changes being made, that is the decision of the GM and the PD. I have indicated that, I've indicated that I'll support making programming changes, but I've also made it clear that there does need to be communication between the GM and his programmers as to what he's doing and how that's anticipated. And so I'm aware of the process, but in terms of the individual decisions being made, those are not my decisions.
Okay, it's sort of creating a firestorm at the station.
I am somewhat aware of that. I'm aware that there's...
And once again, may I say that it has as much to do with process as it does have to do with actual decisions, even though a lot of those decisions, you know, are a judgment call and certainly do not reflect the culture of the WPFW station, you know, not saying that it didn't need to be improved, but I am saying that process didn't, and, you know, to be totally ignored. I just needed to know where they were coming from because apparently John Hughes has not been responsive.
Okay, thank you, Revlin. Okay. Can you hear me?
Wow.
Hi there. Sorry, I switched phones. I'm on a landline again.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Revlin. I do think perhaps process, you know, I met with many of your programmers when I was there in D.C. as well, and
They also agreed there was a need for programmatic changes. I think that perhaps there is insufficient communication going on between maybe management and programmers to have
He did. Let me be clear. He did issue a statement, but it was all after the fact, and like introducing Chinese into a language. People who don't speak Chinese. So I don't know. I just needed to know that. That's all. Thank you.
Sure. Certainly, Rebel. And just to be clear with everyone, I hope to have good and clear communication with my managers and to support them in their decisions. I've made it very clear at every point that I am basically hands-off in terms of the particular programmatic decisions that they make. I mean, I can look at a station and say, there's nobody listening to your station. You have to fix programming. I said that to the union. I said that to the staff. I said that to everyone when I was in D.C. There's really... you have to deal with the fact that you have extremely low listenership. But when it comes down to the particular decisions, even on the emergency one-day fundraising drive, I didn't micromanage or control what the programming was at all. I put that in the hands of the producers. I feel that's the role of whoever is producing. It's the role of the GM and the PD to make those decisions on the local level. And so I just, anyway, I just want to be clear. There are certain lines of authority, and I try to respect those and see to it that people execute their functions properly.
And to
After Revelin, I am sorry. Who did I have next? I have Carolyn. Carolyn.
Hi. Thank you.
Point of order.
Thank you. I'm sorry. What's the point of order, Bill? We're past time.
We're out of time. Yeah, 30 minutes. For that takes all the time for the chair report, IED report, and CFO report.
Okay, and I want to give a few minutes to the to our financial consultants. Let me take Carolyn's question as last person on stack, and then we'll move on. Thank you, Bill. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yes, thank you. I want to concur. I do disagree with the decision to eliminate the electronic balloting. It the cost was presented as about $5,000, which the Election Services Corporation was quite sure we would recoup, and I think Terry Bridges agreed. In saved postage costs from people not mailing in their self-addressed stamped envelopes. I think that, our postpaid envelopes, I do think it was a decision that should have been made with a little more consultation with people who had proposed it and worked very hard to get it through. We thought we had a decision that was agreed upon, and I'm very distressed that that decision was made for such minor reasons. The money saved was not worth countermanding a decision by the board on that. So I'm really quite distressed about that.
Thank you, Carolyn. I'm sorry for causing that distress. Undoubtedly, part of what went into my thinking was the sharing of pain. Since I had people volunteering to be to take less in compensation, I did feel it was necessary to spread that pain around a little bit, and that's part of what factored into my decision making on that particular issue.
Right on.
So I think that we have next year, and we have another $150,000 election looming in front of us, unless something happens. So perhaps we will be in better shape to actually address that effectively. Quite frankly, it had become so dire in attempting to get that particular contract paid that at that point I was happy to simply keep things moving forward. Okay, so we are out of time on my report. Would the body agree to a few more minutes so that we could hear from Peter Larson? Regarding financial matters that are...
So Teresa, I move that we add 10 minutes.
Thank you, Teresa. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Is that Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Thank you. Aaron seconds. No objection? Okay. Thank you all. So I'm going to introduce again Peter Larson. He's a financial consultant whom I've brought in to straighten out our accounting department, and he's doing a very exemplary job of doing that for us. And I'm going to go ahead and let Mr. Larson speak to you now, okay? Thank you.
So first, I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to present this report. I'd also like to refer you to the handout that was sent out with the meeting minutes, I believe.
Not yet.
Or separately. It's the first file, the PNB presentation, 11/29/12. And if you have any questions, I'd like to take them at the end, if that's all right.
Point of information, what's the subject line on this email?
I think it says PNB presentation.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And may I ask who what name are we looking for? Who sent it?
Folks, it came from Summer.
Okay.
I forwarded his, he's not on the PNB distribution list, so I forwarded it.
Just just before the meeting started.
While stuck in a car on a bridge in San Francisco.
Okay, so ready to go? All right, so since this is the first report, I actually would like to present a big picture evaluation of the economics of the network, and this may not be new information, but I tried to crystallize some of the things that I've observed to make it as relevant as possible. And the very first observation, of course, is, as you know, our revenues are in constant decline. There has been some improvement at some stations, but if you look at the 7-year or 8-year trend between 2005 and our preliminary results from 2012, we're actually looking at a drop from about $15.3 million for the station to $13.2, which is a drop of 14%. It is somewhat uneven. You have some stations that experience a sharp drop. KPFA and WPFW go down, drop by 24%. WBL is more moderate by 10%, and KMT are dropping by only 4%. But it's still overall a significant and worrying drop. So what causes this drop? Well, if you switch to the next slide, well, the obvious answer is shrinking membership. The revenue driver for the organization, the way we are today, is absolutely the listenership and the members who come out of there. And that number drops more consistently and even stronger. We're dropping from 2004, a number of members, and this is based on the ballots for the election in 2004, from about 95,000 to 2010 number of 71,000. That's a drop of about a quarter, most concerning drop. I also wanted to compare this to the overall population of the signal areas that we're operating in. And as you see, the number of members that we have in these urban areas is extremely small. It is not an encouraging evolution and not an encouraging sign. So I'm moving a little fast here just to make the 10-minute limit, but I'm moving on to the next slide, the case for change. Because in face of this evolution of dropping revenues and falling membership, we have to reverse the current trends. There's no doubt about it. What this makes is our financials are continuing to deteriorate, and we have done some things over the last couple of years, reducing expenses by very painful layoffs and such. And we may still have to continue to do some of that for the short term, but we also have to realize that the long term is not going to be solved by just kind of cutting expenses. You can't shrink yourself to greatness. And what we have to do, and this is an imperative for the organization, we have to increase our revenues. And that comes first and foremost by increasing membership and increasing listenership. We also have to look, so that's what I mean by current channels that needs to be used effectively. We also have to look for new sources of revenue. I don't think we can solely rely on the current methods of collecting membership. We should be creative and find new ways, go for grants in a more extensive way. I'm getting to this a little later. Maybe leverage social media to get new ways of collecting both membership and increased coverage and also, of course, funds. And this is something that really, I believe, should be the focus of the entire organization. Revenue should be the number one concern at this point. There's really no way else we're going to get out of this crisis because we are in a crisis. The good news is, and I'm moving on to slide number 5, is that there's huge potential for us. Our signal areas have an enormous population. I counted, and this is just a Wikipedia number, so not particularly accurate, but it gives you an order of magnitude. There's 56 million people living in your signal areas. Imagine if just 1% of those were members. Our economics would look radically different. Our potential for the things that we could do would be completely different. Second thing is that there is a movement. The Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street movement had tremendous resonance across the population. But today we're in a situation where there's really no voice for this group. And I think we are uniquely positioned to take up that role and truly become the voice of the 99%. We also have a proud history and values, something that nobody else has, something that's really unique that positions us better than anybody else. And lastly, I think we have an extremely experienced and skilled team that can pull together, like, for example, for the recent exceptional fund drive, produce great radio. Last but not least, we have a wealth of opportunities in terms of media outlets that we have not explored really. And that is basically leveraging web and the social media. If we did that more systematically, like other media outlets do, I think we would have increased our membership quite significantly. So these are the big ideas. And then the last slide really is about something very practical and something that's very tangible for us here at the national office and that we're preparing for the 2012 audit. So the biggest thing we're doing is to bring our books up to date. We haven't yet closed for September 30th, 2012, so we're somewhat late, but there's still a lot of work to do before we can do that. We have also started the document collection with the stations for the audit, and we expect that we'll be bringing on our new audit firm, Armanino McKenna, on January 2nd, and we very much hope that by having our ducks in a row and our books and records in good shape, that we can keep this audit to a period of 6 weeks. That's our target, and we will try to do that. So that concludes the report. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, Teresa. Anyone else right after Teresa?
Okay. Revelin.
Okay.
I have 3 points.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I have 3 points. One is it's been clear that we need somebody on the national level that is chucking out grant requests. Development committee met last week, and there was a station that had, he was talking about one station, I can't remember which one it was, Heather, but this station had received 100-plus grants, and we're just not even doing it. That also concerns me that you know, one station is supposedly going to have the use of Goal Busters, but not the others. And I think that we need to start thinking as a foundation together and having national office coordinated some things. And this just brings me back to the situation involving the cars, where I'm thinking we all need to, you know, somebody needs to say, you know, we're all going to get on the same page. So I'm looking for your leadership, Summer, and I'm really hopeful. I really am. And I appreciate all that you've done so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. And, you know, Peter and I are already discussing addressing that. The New York situation has particularly brought up granting opportunities. We have several to pursue in terms of emergency relief for our New York station. So we're already starting to get our feet wet in that territory towards pursuing those emergency grants. And I think with, I'll let Peter address it, but I think with sufficient financial support, we can more effectively pursue those things.
There's no doubt there are great grant opportunities. I just talked to Brian down in PRA, and I think he's pursuing a $170,000 grant from Bush Foundation. But it was a great opportunity. And I think such things, the experiences one station is making in a positive way should definitely be communicated and, if possible, replicated in the others. Because I think there's a lot of money out there.
Yeah. I think we all agree on that. Thank you, Teresa.
Alex to the stack.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Teresa, I believe you have 2 more questions.
So those were my points. It was a development director for everybody. I forget now, but I mentioned 3 points.
It's okay, Teresa. And thank you. And we've also been discussing what we need to do to strengthen those staffing positions at National in the long run and how to achieve that. So I think we're all on the same page in terms of where we need to go. And I agree with Peter. There's a lot of money out there, and I think we would qualify for a lot of it. We need to identify those opportunities and avail ourselves of them. Revelin and then Alex. Revelin, you're on mute, perhaps.
Yes, I was.
Okay, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Okay, and please just bear with me, Peter, because it's been kind of crazy around here lately, and I may have missed this, but who are you?
No, that's a good question.
Go ahead.
So I am an independent consultant. I am. My past has spent most of my time professionally at Charles Schwab & Company. That I joined in 1993 and left in 2008 when I went on early retirement. At Charles Schwab, I was a vice president in the mutual fund operations area, and as such, I was responsible for the risk management of the custody of the mutual funds of the brokers firm, which is about $600 billion. I was also responsible for the risk area within just the daily trading and settlement of operations, which was another $1 billion. So it's like your big firm kind of operation, and in that role, I had the experience of having to reorganize the department and basically streamline and reorganize make it more efficient, both from a productivity perspective, also from a risk management and customer service. Since then, since my retirement, I have done occasional consulting, and actually my most recent engagement was with a startup brokerage firm where I was the finance and operational principal, which is a regulatory role for FINRA reporting. That's like the two-minute version.
Okay, and where do you live? What part of this network area are you based?
I live in Oakland, and I work out of the Berkeley National Office.
Okay, and were you a member before you did this?
I was not.
You were not?
I was not.
Okay.
I was a sympathizer.
You were what?
A sympathizer. No,
you were one of the straddlers?
No, a sympathizer.
I've certainly...
Sympathizer.
I would listen to KPFA regularly. But I think our interest, I must admit, we listen a lot after 9/11, and our interest has been waning somewhat since. But we still listen regularly.
Okay. So then you might be helpful in as a model in terms of how and why our listenership wanes.
Essentially. I mean, it's not a representative sample. But, yes, I do have an experience, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, never mind. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Alex, you're next.
Yes, I just wanted to strongly endorse your affirmation of the use of social media and new technology as important fundraising tools. One recent dramatic example of that was in the one-day fundraiser we had network-wide. Out of that $200,000, about $30,000 of it came from donations to the WBAI website. I don't know the exact figure, but I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000. Is that correct, Summer?
That's correct. I think it's $31,000 came from the website.
Okay. And we've also established a regular donation system on the WBAI website with the WBAI Buddy program, which the more of that we can raise, the less we have to burden our listeners with endless fund drives. I think this is the way to go. I know some of our colleagues on this board are involved in creating a mobile app for Pacifica, and that's going to be important. I think more and more we're going to see that this is the way to raise funds. And, of course, the other thing is to increase the number of listeners. And that's a huge topic in itself. But I think the bottom line there is programming, programming, programming. But that's a discussion for another occasion.
Absolutely agree. The potential is enormous. I mean, there's a whole segment of the population who gets information on the web. And
that's
media,
right.
Not just by audio, but potentially other recaps of fans and just a media presence in general, I think, would be huge for this organization. A coordinated media presence.
And we need a uniform kind of look and feel to all the different station websites.
Exactly. I'm gonna use a marketing word, but it's branding.
Branding.
There's no consistent branding of Pacifica.
Yeah.
Summer, this is Heather. I want to be on the stack.
Certainly, Heather. Alex, were you done?
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you, Alex. Go ahead, Heather.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was next. Peter, I want to thank you for your presentation. I think that one of the things that, as we've heard from auditors about what's happening with the economy, is that, and it was true in your chart as well, that it started dipping after 2008. So I know that all the issues that you're talking about are certainly relevant as far as seeking other financial sources and so forth. But I think that Pacifica was also a victim of whatever was happening with the economy in 2008. But it also provides the opportunity in any kind of crisis to seek additional avenues for finding resources. And I do need to mention, I think that the board is aware of this, what we're trying to do as far as the media is concerned, is an attempt to reach out to the country in a way that we perhaps haven't done for a while through providing information to the press and to other contacts all over the country about what's happening with Pacifica and providing news to them on Well, what we, our intent is to try to do this on a consistent basis, and we're working in that direction. So I'm quite pleased with that. We're needing more writers for this purpose, but still, I agree with you that that we need to be a force that can be reckoned with in terms of all of the media. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you.
This is Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say we're out of time, but I was going to remind everybody that there's also a second part of the presentation that Peter didn't get a chance to go over, but it was in that email from you, Summer.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Okay, thank you, Bill. And, yes, we can go into other details in closed session. All right, so the next item on the agenda is committee and task force report.
Excuse me. I had a couple questions that I wanted to ask.
Certainly, Afia. I'm sorry I didn't hear your voice before. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Peter, I'm hearing you talk about programming and marketing, and I didn't, in your description of your work experience, hear radio programming and marketing. Did I not hear it, or did you not?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Well, I guess the simplest question is did you submit a resume to the foundation? And if so, if we could get a copy of that.
I did, of course, and I'm sure every summer we'll be able to forward a copy.
Okay. And whether or not you are looking towards a permanent position with the foundation.
But at this point, I'm a consultant.
I see. Thank you.
You're welcome.